In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. If you hear the word of God today, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. We need to have docile hearts to hear the word of God. I was praying with someone yesterday, and I saw someone with ears in his heart. That God wants us to listen with our heart, not only with our head. You know, it's you stay with people and you listen to them. It's a lost art today. It's a lost art. People all have a story, and they want to be listened to. And you know what? We might be too busy. Just last week, I told you the two missionaries came to tell us about their conversion. Oh, we were busy, but thank God we took them in, and they had lunch with us, and they shared their story with us, and oh, they stayed. They stayed with us for the rest of the week. How many times have we not listened to people? We just have all the answers. But you see, the answers come as we listen to people. Jesus listened to people. Yes. He listened to the woman whose son had just died. He listened to her heart. It was broken. And he raised up the son. How we need to listen. To listen with our ears and to listen with our heart. So many times people have come to me saying, I want you to pray for this. And I listened to God. He says, nope, that's not what you're going to pray for. You're going to pray for this. And then after I say it, they say, how did you know? God showed me by the grace of God. God showed me. Oh, yes, we are called to listen to people. We're looking at Romans 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. This is St. Paul. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Why? Because most of the Jewish people did not accept the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, going to hell, and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. I would risk going to hell if the Jewish people would be saved as a whole. God didn't ask that of Paul. It's Jesus who saves people. Paul only preaches. But he is very aware that the most Jewish people did not believe in the Messiah. He's very aware of that. He says, unceasing anguish in my heart. That's deep anguish. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Oh, yes. To the Jews belong all these things, adoption, the glory of God, Kabod Yahweh, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship in the temple, and the promises that God made to his people. To them, the Jews, belong all this. To them belong the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from them, according to the flesh, comes Messiah. That's Jesus, who is over all. I tell you, he is over all. Do you know that today? He's over all you, and he's over all me. and he's got plans for us, and we need to accept these plans that the Lord has for us. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God is over all. God bless forever. Amen. It is not as though the word of God had failed, for not all Israelites truly belong to Israel. Not all people that go to church truly are Christian. That's real. That's real. Everything in a garage is not only cars, but a lot of other stuff. And the church is filled with people who believe and who do not believe. Oh, yes. Why do they come? Well, it's better that they come. Maybe they may hear a word and God would touch their heart. It's better that they come. I know when I have preached the word of God, I have seen people almost sheltered from what the word was saying to them. They didn't want it, and they were covered with an outward covering that it would not reach their hearts. Oh, yes. But I kept on preaching. I kept on preaching. I kept on preaching. I kept on preaching. The Lord tells me to preach. And not all of Abraham's children are his true descendants, but it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. Only through Isaac shall descendants be named. Isaac was the child of the promise. Remember, the three angels came in and said to Abraham, next year at this time you will be having a little baby, and he's going to be a boy. Sarah heard it and she laughed. But they called the child Isaac, which means laughter. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise. Through Isaac I will establish my prodigy. For this is what the promise said about this time. I will return, and Sarah shall have a son, the promise. Nor is that all. Something similar happened to Rebekah when she had conceived children by one husband, our ancestor Isaac, even before they had been born or had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose of election might continue, not by works, but by his call. Listen to this. She was told, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger, Jacob. As it is written, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. What then are we to say? Is there justice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Do you know that the Lord has mercy on you today? You're one of the elect, that he has mercy on you today. Everyone listening to me today, God has mercy on you, but you have to accept it. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. Oh, yes. How do I know God has mercy? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross he said this, and it was for us to have him have mercy on us and on the people who were crucifying him. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Do you know that the Lord has compassion on you? Compassion means to suffer with. And I'm telling you, he not only suffers with you, he suffered for you on the cross through his blood being shed. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. Hallelujah. Where would I be without the mercy of God? I'm a sinner saved by grace. The Lord is showing me some areas in my life that I have to give to Him that I didn't even know I had them. And I say, Lord, I put them all on the cross. All on the cross. I am a sinner saved by grace. Hallelujah. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have raised you up for this very purpose of showing my power in you so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. I've raised you up, Pharaoh, that my name, the name of the Lord, would be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whoever he chooses, and he hardens the heart of whomever he chooses. He's not hardening your heart. He has mercy on you today. How do I know? Because of the cross. Because of the cross, and because you're listening today to the Word of God. He has mercy for you, but you must receive it. How do I receive it? I accept this mercy that you died for me on the cross, and I give you my life in return. I give you my life in return. You died for me on the cross, and I give you my life in return. You will say to me then, why then does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded, the pot, say to the one who molds it, the potter, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? I tell you, you have been created to give glory to God. His mercy extends to you. His mercy is without end. Oh yes, we pray the chaplet of mercy every day. His mercy is for you. His mercy is, it hits, it's like an arrow in your heart. But you must accept it. I accept the mercy. I accept the forgiveness of God. I accept. I need to go to confession. That's what you need to do. Go to confession. Desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the objects of wrath that are made for destruction. And what if he has done so in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy? Again, you're an object of mercy. How do you know, Father Tom? What I've done is terrible. You're an object of mercy. I told you the story of Fulton J. Sheen, Bishop. He would go to the hospital quite often, and one day he went into a room, and the man said, you're welcome to be here, but if you talk about God, I'll throw you out. So the Archbishop talked about baseball and football and all the other things, and then he mentions God, and the man throws him out. But the Archbishop said, I'm going back, because this guy's going to die. So the Archbishop goes back, and the same thing happens. He gets thrown out. The third time he went, he said to the man, just say Jesus mercy. He got thrown out. He got thrown out. But you know what? The nurse saw him die, said to the Archbishop, the last words of this man was Jesus mercy. Oh yes. Oh yes. The last moment, like the thief on the cross, the last moment he asked for mercy. And if we ask for mercy, we will receive mercy. You say, Father Tom, you don't need mercy. I cannot exist without the mercy of God. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. I need Jesus Christ. Not only do I need him for today, I need him for tonight, for tomorrow, and for the rest of my days. I need the Lord Jesus, and I need his mercy. What about you? What about you? The Lord has prepared beforehand for glory, including us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. There's one new man, Jew and Gentile, through the blood of Jesus. One new man, Jew and Gentile, through the blood of Jesus. As indeed he says in Hosea, those who are not my people, I will call my people. That's the Gentiles. That's us. That's me. I was not born an Israelite, but those that are not my people, the Gentiles, I will call my people. We even see Peter preaching to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. And what happens as he preaches the gospel, the Spirit of God falls on them. He falls on them in the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter said, how could I forbid baptism? God has already given these people the Spirit. They are speaking in tongues and prophesying. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. This is something. That salvation is to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. Paul would go to the synagogue first and preach Jesus, get thrown out, and then he would go to the Gentiles. I tell you, thanks be to God for Paul, who was obedient to the Lord to preach not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called children of the living God. What are you called? Child of the living God. What am I called? Child of the living God. Why are we children of the living God? Because he shed his blood for us, and we were baptized into his death, Romans 6. And we need to believe to fulfill our baptismal vows. Believe in Jesus who shows us mercy. Believe in Jesus who gives us compassion. Hallelujah. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel are like the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. But you know that? That's true, I believe, of the Gentiles. People don't want to hear about Jesus. I've had mercy on them, and they have not received my mercy. I want the children of the Gentiles to become the children of God, the child of God. Oh yes, I am one of the children of the Gentiles. But you know, somehow I believe in my tree of life, there's Jewish blood in me. I believe that. For the Lord will execute his sentence on the earth quickly and decisively. And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left survivors to us, we would have fared like Sodom and been made like Gomorrah. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for the mercy of God. What then are we to say? Gentiles who did not strive for righteousness have attained it. That's right. And how did they attain it? By grace we were saved, not of works, lest any man boast, but we are to do the works that God has commanded us to do. By grace we have been saved. By grace the Gentiles were saved. The Jewish people, most of them rejected it. That it is righteousness through faith. Yes, our righteousness is through the faith that we have in the crucified, risen Lord, that we've been washed with the blood. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and sanctified, I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Now that's not all. There's more beside, there's more beside. Not that's not all. There's more beside. That's not all, there's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. The Lord and I, the Lord and I, we got so close, we got so close. The Lord and I, we got so close. The Lord and I, we got so close. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. But Israel, who did strive for righteousness based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling that law. Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. Who is the stumbling stone? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, see, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Do you believe in him today? Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in Jesus as the Messiah today? You know, Christ means anointed, which means Messiah. Do you believe in him today? Do you have faith in him? One person asked me just 2 days ago, if not yesterday, should I pray over and over again for things? Somebody told me, don't nag God. I said, listen, God says, keep on praying for the things you're praying for. Keep on praying for the things you're praying for. Even Jesus had to pray twice for the man that was blind. He prayed once over the blind man, and the man saw trees. The people looked like trees. He prayed the second time over the blind man, and what happened? He saw clearly. Oh, yes, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. But if you have lost a loved one, like a love, and they're still living, if you have lost them, just get them out of your mind. Pray for yourself and pray for your children. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you have faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Faith comes by the grace of the living God. Do you have faith today? Faith in Jesus that he's big enough to save you? Faith in Jesus that he's big enough to heal you? Do you have faith today? You only need the faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesus said if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved, mountain of fear. Mountain of fear, be thou moved, and it will be moved. Do you have faith today? Well, I tell you, I praise God for the faith he's given you and me. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. You are holy, Lord. Holy is the Lord. He has graced us with faith so that we would be his adopted children, the adopted children of the Father. Holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Merciful is the Lord. O God, you have promised us salvation. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.